It is a good day. It is a great day. It is the best day of your life. Right? Why? Because this is the only day you have. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow hasn't come. Today is the day. This is the moment that God has given to you so that you can exist and so that you can know that He is your life and that you can praise Him and worship Him. And part of that is listening to the Word and what has been given. And it's amazing what we can gather from the Word of God. Better is one day in the courts of God than anywhere else in this world. It is better to stand at the threshold of the door of the temple than to be in the tent of wickedness. We read that earlier in Psalm 84. Come and let us go into the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God. Let us not forsake the gathering of His saints. Here we are gathered. And all over the world, people are gathering or have gathered or will gather, depending on their time zone, just to praise God. What an amazing thing we have on this day to do that. What an amazing thing we have every day to do that. And it's all because of what He's done, not because of what we do, not because of what we have done. It's all because of what He has done. 3 weeks ago, I started a mini-series, not knowing that it was a mini-series at the time. And we talked about the agape love of the Father, the agape covenant, what it means to have a covenantal love in the Father. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the types of covenants that the Lord has allowed us to be a part of throughout the history of the world. And then last week, we talked about the blood covenant and how that everything, every covenant that has been around has technically been signed, sealed, and delivered by blood. And under the new covenant of God, it has been signed, sealed, and delivered by the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so with that blood covenant, we have entered into an agreement with God that is not based on our faithfulness to the covenant, but it's based on His faithfulness to the covenant. It has nothing to do with us other than we are the recipient of this. And it's such an amazing thing to know that we have that kind of a covenant with God. That it doesn't matter. It does, but it doesn't. Our faithfulness does not have anything to do with God's covenant. What it does, it enhances it. Because He does operate better in a clean heart, in a pure heart. But He still operates in a heart that's not quite so clean. And it gives hope to the world. What hope is there in the world that salvation is free, but staying there costs everything? But at the same time, it does cost everything because it costs you your life. It costs you your life. A life service of being in God's relationship. But it's His faithfulness to that covenant. We just have to receive it. Because all of our sins have already been wiped away. All of the sins of the entire world have already been wiped away. Our sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul, it is well. And that is it's a difficult statement, because you think that it's all of a sudden saying, you know what, you go ahead and do anything, and everything's all right. The problem is, once you get ensnared, then all of a sudden your heart starts to change. And we're not wanting that heart to change. We're wanting it to be in a relationship with God. And the relationship with God comes from being here in a place where the Word of God is preached. It comes with fellowshipping with other people. It comes with prayer and communication with God. And I'm not talking about just kneeling your bedside at night or when you go to eat. That's not the essence of relationship. The essence of relationship is that you can communicate at any time. That you can all of a sudden just pick up the heavenly phone, per se. I don't know what else to relate it to. but you just all of a sudden just talk. It's not about a certain set of words that you say. It's about a heartfelt relationship, a communication with God. I find it interesting that when we go to pray with God, our language changes. Our language changes to what is known as Christianese. Some people, they pray in the King James Version. I'm not saying that it's wrong. What I'm saying is that we're supposed to be having a communication with God, just like we do a relationship with our loved ones and with friends, that we have a communication. But you don't talk that way with them. So why all of a sudden do we change our words when we talk to God? Why not just talk to him and say, hey, God, how's it going? You know, this is what I've just been doing, and I'd like to have your blessing. Or, Lord, I'm wanting to know what to do with this in this case, and allow him to speak to you. And just use that as your communication with him. That's what he's wanting in the covenant. He's not wanting you to stop and all of a sudden you have to fold your hands and close your eyes and stand still and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, those are just words. If it comes from the heart, go for it. But if it doesn't come from the heart, then what's the point? It's a communication. If you say to your spouse, I love you, and you don't have the heart in it, it doesn't mean anything. It's just words that fall to the ground. Our prayers need to be that way. It's a covenant. It's a relationship that God is wanting with us. And so today, we've talked about all these covenants, but today I want to culminate this all and talk to you about how do we receive this covenant? And how would you say that we receive a covenant that God has done with us? Anybody? What do you need to do? In love. Well, what do you do in love, though? Talk to him. Does the talk give you into the relationship with God? How do you come into this covenant? You do all know the answer. Once I say it to you, you're going to go, oh yes, I know that. What was that? We believe it. Is belief all it is? Because the demons even believe in God and they shudder. We confess it. We say the same thing that God does. And what does God say to have? I heard it. Faith. That is what we need. That is it. And it is only believe. But it's more than belief. It's like I used to have the saying, do you believe that God will do it? No, do you believe that God can do it, or do you have faith that God will do it? So we can believe in the righteousness of God, but do we have faith that it's true? We can believe in God's healing power, but do we have faith that it is true? We can believe in his salvation, the blood of Jesus, but do we have faith to apply it to our lives? So it's believing, yes, and it's true. If you read my post from yesterday on the social media, I said that. I said, only believe, because it is faith. Faith and belief are so interconnected, but there is a little bit of a difference. But it is faith that does this. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Going to start reading in verse 1 from the New American Standard. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, or Peter, and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Father, thank you for your word, and may it be according to your scriptures, all the things that are in there for us. Amen. So this portion of scripture says to us to hold fast to the gospel. The gospel that Christ died, that he rose again, and that it was all in accordance to the scripture. And that is the key right there. In accordance to the scripture. That it's all according to what the scriptures say. And you've heard me say many times, the Bible interprets the Bible. That's why on a Sunday morning when I preach, we go through scripture after scripture after scripture that proves a point through it all. It could be looked at as a spider web, and it's all entangled together, but that's the best way to interpret scripture is through other scriptures, in accordance with the scripture. And it says that it's the gospel which Paul preached. Now you go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, I believe it is, and he says that he has preached this gospel through the whole world. And it was to his world, his Roman world, that he knew that it was being preached to. And that's what he preached. Christ died and he rose again. It's the gospel that he preached. He preached in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he experienced that and showed it to others. He preached on the healing power of God. He preached on the covenant. But what was it? It was based on the scriptures. Now, this is the fun part, because even when he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says, all scripture is God-breathed. Now, what scripture was he referring to when he said all scripture is God-breathed? Was he referring to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Romans, and Acts, and 1 and 2 Corinthians, that it was all God-breathed? Or was he referring to the Old Testament? Because you have to remember, if you know history of the church at all, or history of the Bible and the books, that he wrote 1 Timothy before he wrote 1 Corinthians. So he couldn't have been calling 1 Corinthians part of scripture. But we look at it that he is, because we have the whole Bible as put together in 325 at the Council of Nicene. And so he was referring to the Old Testament, that the Old Testament is all God-breathed. Now, I'm not saying that the New Testament isn't. What I'm saying is that what Paul was referring to is that the Old Testament, the old stuff, was there for our purpose, for us to be reproved, rebuked, taught, and to grow us, to encourage us. That's what it's there for. But if you read Paul, he'll also tell you that all the stuff of the law is dead. It's no longer in effect right now because we have the grace of God. But what it does is it shows the whole cycle of what God was up to up until Paul's time. That's what Paul preached. And so when we start to preach nowadays, we use the entire thing, including the New Testament, which has the New Covenant in it, and we teach the Old Covenant, and we talk about stuff there. But Christ died and rose again according to Scripture, because the Scripture talks about all of it. It talks about it. And so that's what Paul was preaching. Now, do you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale? Anybody? I do. Yeah, so there. Now you don't have to worry, because I'm putting my hand up too. I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. How do you know that? Because the Bible says it. Do you believe that there was a prodigal son that went to the father, or that rebelled and came back and the father accepted him? You believe that? Why do you believe that? Because it's in the Bible, right? Did you know that Jesus just told a story? It wasn't actually something that happened. He was using it as a point. It could have happened, but he was using it as a point. This is like a man who had two sons. That's how he says it. This was like a man who had two sons. It's not necessarily that there was a man that had two sons. It was that it was like a man who had two sons. Just saying that just because it was in the Bible doesn't mean that it actually happened, because it could have proven a point. So how do you find out these things? You study the Word. You study the Word and find out, what is this saying here? So you have this story in the Bible, and how do we receive it? By faith, because we weren't there. Were you there when God said, "Let there be light"? No. How do you receive it? By faith. How do you know that Cain killed Abel? The Bible says so. And according to the scriptures, I believe it by faith. Right? That's what we do. And this is what Paul was talking about. Because even Jesus said it in John chapter 20. He died, he rose again, and he shows up to the disciples, and the disciples say to some of the ones that weren't there and said, "Hey, the Lord is risen." And Thomas rises up and says, "I won't believe that until I touch him." And then a little while later, Jesus appears, and there's Thomas. And he says, "Thomas, come and touch my hands. Put your hand in my side." And he does that, and he says, "My Lord and my God, you have risen from the dead." And he said, "Blessed are you, Thomas, for you have seen and you have believed. But more blessed are those who do not see, and yet they still believe." So I can tell you, there are so many people that say, "I would so much like to be there with Jesus and knowing how Jesus was." But you know what? Yes, that would be a blessing, but it is more of a blessing to not have seen it and still believe in it. So where you are right now, 2,000 years later, is more of a blessing than the disciples walking with Jesus. You just would sit there and you would say, "Oh my goodness, what do you mean?" Because Jesus himself said, "You are more blessed because you still believe even though you haven't seen." There are so many people who, they want proof. They want proof. Well, how about that inner witness that says, "Yes, it is. I know because I know. That's how I know." Doesn't make sense. Because I can't all of a sudden say, "Hey, look, Jesus is in my heart." I can't do that. Why? Because, first of all, he's talking about my entire life, not a literal heart. But secondly, it's because I have faith. The Bible says, if you have faith in anything and do not doubt. Anything. So let me propose something to you. This way I can be on both sides of the fence at the same time. For those of you who believe and have faith that every sin affects your salvation, and you do not doubt, that's what it is for you. But for those of you who believe that all of your sin has been paid for and accounted for, and you have faith and do not doubt, then that's what you have. Because he says, if you have faith in anything and do not doubt in your heart, then that's what you have. Does this come to healing? Maybe. Does this come to living in prosperity? Maybe. Because if you listen to people talk, and let's say I preach a message on prosperity and someone comes up to me and says, "I don't believe in that." Well, guess what? Then you're not going to get it. I can't help it. I'm talking about what the Word says. So yes, some of the messages that are preached are hard, but they come from the Word. But what do we believe? What do we have faith for? but it's not based on your faithfulness, except that you have to have faith. So I believe that when I became a Christian, that Christ, when he died, all of my sin was placed on him, and in that moment, all my sin died. And then God took Christ's righteousness and placed it on me, because now I am the righteousness of God. I have his righteousness on me. And that is my faith. I do not doubt that. And I can prove it. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And Tara, we'll be going into chapter 11 so that it just, you'll have an easier time that way. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have a need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come, and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So, the writer of Hebrews says to us, do not throw away your confidence. Says, have faith in your faith. Make sure that your faith is confident before God. That with confidence we can go to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace. Don't throw away that confidence. Have that confidence within you. You need to live with endurance, because there is going to be things in this world that are thrown against you that will try to break down your confidence. Sometimes that is the things of this world that will throw themselves at you, and they'll say, don't believe it, because this is what's happening in your life. So if you have a diagnosis of something in your body, and you say, no, I have confidence in God that this will be healed, whether it be by medication, whether it be by the hands of a doctor, or whether it be by a miraculous touch, that you have faith that it is healed. Don't throw away your confidence no matter what comes against you. Have endurance. That's what the writer is saying. Have endurance. Don't throw away that confidence. Have it in your life. If you are living in so much debt right now, and yet you believe that God will provide for all your needs, no matter what bill comes along, have your confidence. Keep your endurance that says, my God shall supply all my needs in accordance to his riches in glory. I'm going to start preaching here if I don't be careful. Why does it work this way? Because it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, my righteous ones shall live by faith. We're not supposed to throw away our confidence. We're supposed to have endurance. Why? Because the righteous ones, which you are all a part of, live by faith. You drop down to verse 13 in Hebrews 11. And it says, because there was a list of people there, it says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. But all of these died in faith that the promises were still going to happen. So how many of you know people within this congregation in history that had promises of who knows what about this church, and they died without seeing it? Do you forlorn the fact that they... I'm using old English here. Goodness sakes. Do you have that feeling of, oh, I can't believe that they had this happen to them. They never got to see their promise. Or do you hold fast to your confidence? Do you have endurance and faith in their promises? Because Abraham wasn't the last one to hear about the covenant that was with Abraham. Because it's referred to as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And you can even take that that God of Jacob, you can change that to the God of Israel. And the promises that went through the 2,500 years or more between Abraham and Jesus before the promise was fulfilled in its entirety. You have 2,500 years plus of people who knew the promises. And so how many people do you know have lived for 2,500 plus years? I can guarantee you there's a lot of people that died without seeing that promise fulfilled. It wasn't just Abraham. There was promise of a Messiah right from Adam. And throughout all of Israel's history, continuing today because they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, continuing to this day, they are looking for this Messiah. There are countless people dying without seeing the promise. But they still had faith in it. And then, of course, you have verse 6 in chapter 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. That's the first point. And secondly, that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Do you seek God? Why do you seek God? So many people, they say that we shouldn't be seeking the gift, but we should be seeking the giver. Yes. But if the giver is promising that he's going to give gifts, is it wrong to seek the gift? Just a thought. Of course, if I was to go up to my mom, hi mom, oh you're not probably not listening live, but that's okay. If I was to go up to my mom and say, you always give me gifts, so where is it? See what I'm saying? Then she smacked me on the hand or other places. Mind you, she's this tall and this big. Yeah. But I still listen to her. Why? Because I honor my father and my mother. Because with it comes the promise of long life. Wow. Do I always honor my mom? Begrudgingly, I have to say no. But I can tell you that all of us are in that same boat. But he is a rewarder of those who seek him. But you also have to have faith that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. You can seek him without thinking that he's going to reward you with anything, and you're going to get what you thought for. You'll get nothing. It says that we have to ask so that we can receive. If you don't ask, you ain't going to receive. If you don't seek, you're not going to find. If you don't knock, the door ain't going to open. You have to do these things in order to get them. But you have to do them with faith. Because by faith, verse 3 says that we understand. By faith, we understand. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, that He created something out of nothing. By faith, we receive this. And no matter what the world throws at us in regards to evolution, in regards to the Big Bang theory, in regards to anything in regards to that, we, by faith, understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God and that He created something out of nothing. By faith. And it's in accordance with Scripture. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And by faith, in verse 4, Abel offered up sacrifices that were more worthy than Cain did. He offered a better sacrifice. And he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. And then, through faith, he still speaks. By faith. We don't know these things because we saw them happen. By faith, we accept them because it's according to the Scripture. We have not seen, yet we still believe. You know, in the Old Covenant, faith was still available. And faith was still necessary. The Old Covenant, so the sacrifices for sins, the Sabbath day rules, all of the Ten Commandments, plus the 620-some-odd more commandments that were there. You had to have faith to receive them. Because the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 4, verse 20, it says that if they do this sacrifice, they will be forgiven. So just think on this. The Old Covenant and the sacrifice and their sins were forgiven. Quite often, those who are under the New Covenant or in the whole thing of the New Covenant will say something to the effect of, well, that wasn't the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins came with Christ. No, the forgiveness of sins came through faith because there was blood spilt. But what the Old Covenant didn't cover, and this is in another message, this is Hebrews chapter 9, or 8 or 10, it says that the Old Covenant did nothing to purify the conscience. It didn't say that it had nothing to do with the forgiveness of sins. It had nothing to do with the purification of our conscience. The forgiveness was there by faith. Otherwise, what's the point? Here, God, I'm killing this animal. Spill blood, spill blood, spill blood. What's the point if there's no faith that that's going to forgive your sins? They had to have faith. In accordance with Scripture, some of the sacrifices were for when they remembered their sin. Leviticus 19:22, the Day of Atonement. It covered the entire year for sins they didn't know about. These are things in the Scripture that are true, that are there but to be received by faith. Throughout the Old Covenant, the sacrifice equals forgiveness. God forgave their sin. Because without the remission of, no, without the spilling of blood, there's no remission for sin. Well, that includes the blood of goats and lambs and bulls and doves. However, there were some sacrifices that weren't received. turn to Amos chapter 5. If you don't know where Amos is, it's in the Bible. And it's listed in your table of contents. Okay, fine. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Nahum. I don't know. I can never remember it, but I think it's Obadiah that's right after Amos. Do you know that because you know that, or do you know that because you were turning in your Bible and you saw it? Because I don't know. I can never remember those minor prophets for some reason. Amos chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. God says, I hate, I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And I will not even look at the peace offerings of your fatlings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sound of your harps. Did you know that if you worship without faith, he doesn't like it? It could be the most beautiful song in the world. But if you're not worshiping him in faith, he doesn't care. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, our sacrifices, even the ones of praise, can bring no pleasure to God. We need to have faith. This is saying, basically, that even the rituals, when they're done without faith, they become rituals. So when it becomes a ritual, a habit, a non-faith, it was not received. Under the new covenant, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 10. Well, let's go to 4. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Notice that it says take away sins. It doesn't say anything about covering them. We believe in the faith of Jesus Christ's blood that takes away the sins of the world. They believed in the blood of goats, rams, and bulls that covered the sin. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So because of what Jesus did, the sacrifices versus the obedience. We are doing things out of obedience now, not sacrifices. But when it becomes ritual or habit or non-faith, it will be rejected. So even under the new covenant, where his blood covers everything, or shouldn't say that, his blood takes away everything, without faith, it will be rejected. We need to have faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. We need to be like Abel. We need to know through faith. Romans chapter 14 says, verse 23 says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Wait a second. That is saying if you do anything without faith, it's sin. How can you possibly say that? It's very simple. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What is sin? It's not pleasing to God. So if you want to please God, have faith. Do anything, but do it in faith. Do you know that when I preach to you every single week, or every so often, however it works out, when I preach with faith. I preach with faith that the words that are going out are the words of God, and the Bible tells me that the word of God goes out and it doesn't return without accomplishing what it's purposed to do. So I am preaching in faith that you all have a fertile soil that is receiving the seed of the word of God so that it will produce a righteous oak that will produce fruit. That's what I preach. I pray it every single week as I am going and preparing these messages. I pray that it goes out. Now, that's the preaching of it going out. Now, I know because there are a lot of people, wherever I preach or however they receive it, I know that there are people who are in tune with me and they receive what is said. They already have the fertile soil. But I also know that there are people, wherever I preach and however it's done, there are people who are not in tune, and their faith is not receiving what is preached. But from my standpoint, I preach with faith. And so therefore, from my standpoint, what I say is pleasing to God. Why? Because it's done with faith. So if you ever get the opportunity to speak the word of God, whether it be from a pulpit or in your couch, do it with faith. When you have conversations with your spouse or your family or your friends, do it with faith. Have faith that they're going to receive what you are going to say. Because did you know that your faith can change the soil? Your faith can change the soil. But they have to receive it to be changed. It's a conundrum, I know. It's a hard thing. It's not something that our mortal brains can grasp. You have to receive it by faith, that your faith can change their soil, but their faith can block it. It's confusing. Otherwise, why do I do this? Why do I do this? Is it just for a paycheck? No. I do this because I long to see what the Father longs to see. And that is lives that are changed by the Word of God. And if the Word of God, spoken in faith, has no faith involved in it, then it falls powerless to the ground. But if it is preached in faith, then it has the fullness of the power of God backing it. And no soul in this world can ever stop it. Because God promised that the word of God goes forward and it never comes back without accomplishing what it is purposed for. And so it is important to preach in faith. But it is important to receive in faith because it makes a lot easier. So Abel had this testimony that he is righteous. So we need to be like Abel and receive by faith that you know through faith that the sacrifice was accepted, the sacrifice of Christ, and that you are righteous. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that. And I've already referred to it. That he was on the cross, the sin was put onto him, and the righteousness of God was put onto us. But our faith needs to be consistent with Scripture. The Bible says that we need to show ourselves to be approved workers, that we rightly divide the Scriptures, that we rightly divide the truth. And it's really hard to... I don't know what to say, other than there are so many different people who divide the truth, but not necessarily do it right. And I can tell you that I'm one of them. But I endeavor to do it right. I go through the Scriptures. 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 Why? So that I can show that I'm rightly dividing the truth. And there are people who go through the Scriptures, go through the Scriptures, and go through the Scriptures, and they will come up with something different. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say that the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers are coming so that we can all agree on the same things. That's not what the Bible says. It says that the fivefold ministry has come here so that we can have unity in faith. It doesn't say anything about agreeing. Can you have unity without agreeing? Let me ask. Ed, do you agree with everything that your wife says to you? Erica, do you agree with everything that your husband says to you? Do you guys walk in unity? Point proven. Sorry for putting you on the spot, but I knew that you guys would be up to it. Neil and Sharon, I don't know for sure, but no, just... Do you see what I'm saying? We can all come to the same point of unity without agreeing. And it's okay. Because you need to walk your life by faith. I need to walk my life by faith. And I need to prove my faith through the Scriptures. That's where the faith comes from. It's according to the Scriptures. We need to press into the Word of God and know what it says so that we can align our faith with what God says. Our faith needs to be consistent with Scripture. That's where it needs to be based on. It doesn't need to be based on a study Bible or a commentary or a lexicon or any preacher. Your faith does not need to be lined up with Pastor Corey's preaching. Your faith needs to be lined up with the Word of God. And hopefully Pastor Corey will agree with the Word of God. But your faith needs to be based on the Word of God. My faith needs to be based on the Word of God. Not anybody in this world should be able to tell me what to have faith in, except for the Word of God. So, I repeat what Paul said. He said, hold fast the preached word. That is according to the Scriptures. It's not the preached word that's based on any of those other things that I mentioned. It's the preaching that is based on the Word of God. That's what you need to hold fast to. Because Bible interprets Bible. Always. So have faith in God. Only believe. And have confidence in your belief. Have confidence in your faith. Have endurance with it all. And we will get through this life together. Father, thank you for your faith. Thank you that you have a faithfulness that is beyond anything that we could ever measure. That your faithfulness to the covenant is what we need to have our relationship based on. That it has nothing to do with my faithfulness to the covenant, except that I have faith in it. So, Lord, I have faith in your finished work, and I pray that those that are listening to me today have faith in your finished work, and that the covenant is secure because you have sealed it, you have signed it, and you've delivered it by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now may we all go from this place and walk in righteousness, and may we have the blessings of God chasing us down and overtaking us, so that we can be a blessing to the rest of this world and we can see so many others who will come to the realization, the revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord and that His covenant has already been paid and that we just have to accept it. May we be able to bring that to the world. Amen and amen. God bless you richly. I pray that you will be back with us next Sunday at 10:30. Don't forget about the prayer and the coffee time on Tuesday at 10 here.